The New Testament church was not one that saw a God over the nations. They were one that saw the Roman Empire crushing those who proclaimed Christ. They saw the Christians being tortured in the arena and ridiculed and mocked by the world. They had to hide and lost their possessions and their property. And they had to maybe wonder, is Psalm 66 true? Does God rule the nations? Does he rescue us and preserve our lives? But then they'd see this. Jesus appeared alive to his disciples, and our resurrected Lord said, "All authority is given to me." And so what do we do knowing he is ruling the nations?
This message is from Rock of Ages Evangelical Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Rock, solid hope, and rim country. May 10th, 2026. Psalm 66.
As we've been going through our series on the Psalms, we've been looking at how God shows his banner of love over and over again, what he's done to change our lives. And we can be assured of that as we see throughout the Psalms the truth of the resurrection. But up to this point, we've been looking at the things he does for us individually. My life, my fears, my way. And certainly that's good to see how God makes a big impact for us in our lives. But today we're going to take a step back further and look at the wider picture. Yes, God changes things for us, but does he change things for the world, for the nations, and all that's going on around us? That's what we see today as we contemplate once more one of the Psalms, Psalm 66, that speaks to this truth, that he is a God not just living for us, but one who is over all the nations, and we'll find comfort and his love in that. Psalm 66 echoes the truths that we see throughout Scripture. God is in control. It may be that as we look at the world around us and we hear, just as Jesus said there would be, wars, rumors of wars expanding, that maybe the nations, as they're in turmoil, are just raging and raging, and soon this world will crumble and humanity will destroy itself. Or maybe it'll affect our life as that war begins to not only hinder the affluence we enjoy, but even affect our loved ones and eventually our own land. And yet, we see once again in the Word of God, we don't need to be afraid, even as the nations crumble and as the world rages in warfare. God controls the nations. And didn't he make this clear as you look at the Scriptures? From the very beginning, that God is over the nations, not only did we have the great deluge as the world was destroyed, but God showed time and again that he is above the nations of this world. He is not just some local God. He showed this when the people left from Egypt, and he said, "I will make all people, and Pharaoh will know, the world, and you will know that I am the Lord." And when the people of Israel began to take possession of the land, it was so that those surrounding nations would know that the Lord is God. Or when God sent the people back from captivity, he said it was so they would know he is God. And over throughout history, as we see in prophecies like Daniel, God affirms he is the Lord of the nations. And that's why this psalm starts with the invitation, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious." It's not just a praise that echoes here in his house, but it's for all the earth. And to shout for joy? Say to God, "How awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you." Can any nation ultimately defy God's will or his plan for the nations? We heard the Apostle Paul speaking to the Athenians. He determines the exact places and histories where people live. And God determines when they live and where they live for every nation. And God does this with a purpose. And if a nation tries to go against him, they will crumble. All the earth is called to sing to him. All your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praise of your name. It's an invitation for the whole world to praise and sing to God's glory because God is over all the world, whether they like it or know it or not. This is an invitation that must go out over the entire world. Come and see what God has done. You don't want to sing his praise. You don't want to cringe before him. Come and see what he has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. And the psalm writer brings us back a few centuries to what God did in history. See, he's not just a God who sits enthroned watching this world. He's a God who steps down and interacts with this world. And he acts in power to save. He turned the sea to dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Can you picture the awesome display as the Pharaoh and his army are marching up against the people of Israel? God opens the waters and the people are able to escape their enemies, stepping onto the dry ground, and they're marveling as they see what God has done as he controls the seas, and then they get to the other side and see how he controls the nations. As the most powerful nation that they had known, the one that had oppressed them for hundreds of years, was destroyed in one swipe of God's hand, and the waters came down and destroyed their enemies. And again, when the people started to march towards the land God had promised, it says the nations were melting in fear when they had heard what God had done. Or years later, when they started to enter the promised land through crossing the Jordan, God did the same thing, and he stopped the Jordan so that Rahab the spy said, "We heard what God has done, how he dried up the Red Sea," but in their mind also they knew they were fearful because God showed that he was still with them, still controlling the nations. Same is true today, isn't it? God controls the nations. Let his people rejoice in him. It says he rules forever by his power. Don't make the mistake that God was powerful in the past and now he's lost some power, is sitting back and letting the world have its way. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. You know, when we watch the news, we can see up close what's taking place. Today, there's a lot of video being recorded right on the battlefield and right at the front lines, and it's being uploaded so that you can watch it and see what's taking place. But God's eyes are on the nations. He has always seen what every military commander has planned. He's seen what every troop has done, and he knows. This ought to cause those of this world to cringe in terror at his ways. It ought to cause us to humbly fall before him and do what this psalm says, to bow down and to sing praise to him. And the warning is given, let not the rebellious rise up against him. For the nation that seeks to mock God, God laughs at them, and he terrifies them in his wrath. And he says, I've installed my king and my people, and my promises will be kept. So the psalmist speaks to something that might be coming to mind. If God is in control of all the nations, if he rules over all of this world and has all power, and he's still ruling forever, why do his people face what they do? And why do the nations that have the people of God suffer in ways that they do? Look at the middle of this psalm. It addresses that. Praise God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He's preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. The people of Israel certainly experienced this. They had been enslaved under Egypt for many generations. And then even after they got out of Egypt, they still had to have burdens thrown on their back as they were tested and tried for many years. And even when they took possession of the land, God allowed the nations around them to at times invade and to test them. Why? You laid burdens on our back. You let people ride over our heads. God controls the nations, but he also does it for the benefit of his people. And that includes, at times, allowing the nations to trample over the people of God. When the Christians first started spreading the gospel in the early church, the New Testament church was not one that saw a God over the nations. They were one that saw the Roman Empire crushing those who proclaimed Christ. They saw the Christians being tortured in the arena and ridiculed and mocked by the world. They had to hide and lost their possessions and their property. And they had to maybe wonder, is Psalm 66 true? Does God rule the nations? Does he rescue us and preserve our lives? But then they'd see this. You have tested us. You refined us like silver. The trials and testing that the people of God face is given by God. And it's given for a purpose. You know, I can't say how long it will be before those trials face your family, whether it's the trial of war or persecution. But are you able to join in this psalm and say, praise be to God. Let us rejoice in him, even as he lets people ride over our heads, even as we pass through fire and water. The day may come when the church once again in our nation faces persecution. It already is happening in many places in this world. Is God in control of the nations? The psalmist says, but you brought us to a place of abundance. Yes, there will be times of trial and testing found in the early church, found in the ancient people of God as they had his word and carried his promises. But God rescued them every time. He brought them out of Egypt. He rescued them from captivity. He drove out the nations before them. And those who hold to the promises of God can bow before him and shout for joy to the glory of his name, because God rules the nations forever. And how do we know this is true? Because of the resurrection. The Son of God came, and the ruler of this world asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He responded, you are right in saying I am a king. And Jesus reminded him, you would have no power over you if it weren't given from above. And when the ruler of the people of Israel had rejected their king and said, tell us the truth. Are you the anointed one, the son of the blessed one? He said, yes, and you will see me coming in glory with all of my angels. Jesus, who died for the sins of the people, faced the burdens, the testing, and he stood the trial so he might redeem his people. But this psalm is fulfilled as he rises from the grave. And he tells his disciples, I will not leave you, I will not abandon you, but rather he ascends into glory and fulfills the prophecies of our God ruling forever by his power over the nations. Jesus appeared alive to his disciples, and our resurrected Lord said, all authority is given to me. And so what do we do knowing he is ruling the nations? First of all, as he rules the nations, let your fears subside. That whatever trials come, he's still in charge. But then the one who rules the nations told his disciples, go to all nations and preach the good news. The psalmist says, I will come to your temple and fulfill my vows with the promises I made and I spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice to you. I will offer up sacrifice. And he says, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him, and my praise was on his tongue. The psalmist is basically saying, I now know the one who controls all nations, and I will tell you what he has done, my God who controls and rules over all. He's fulfilling the role that God gives to each one of us to speak his praise, to shout aloud, to make known his praise. This psalm says, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds. Yes, it included the crossing of the Red Sea, but after this time came the most awesome deed, his redemption of his people, his rising from the grave, his ruling over the nations. Come and see. And eventually, the God who rules the nations will raise the dust, and all the dead will rise. And all will fulfill this psalm as it says, all the earth bows down to you, And whether they like it or not, they must sing the praises of his name, the one who rules the nations. Until then, the people of God are invited, come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. Let this be your invitation to the world, that you're not afraid of what happens in the nations, because you know the one who rules over all. You know what he's done in the past and what he will continue to carry out. And the Lord knows what is in our hearts. He said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. It's one thing to cry out with our mouth with praise, but also let it be reflected in your life and even in your heart. Serve the God who rescued you. And for all the times that we have failed, he will once again test and refine, and he will forgive. He's not rejected or withheld his love from me. This psalm, Psalm 66, reminds us that his banner over us is love. Even as the nations make war, even as the people of God suffer among the nations, he rules. And we remember the wonderful things he has done until he comes again to rule forever in glory. Amen. Please stand. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. Amen. I invite you to join as we confess our Christian faith.